Welcome to the Bow Church podcast. You're listening to our series called For the Life of the World. And in this episode, Lulu May talks about friendship.
I'm just going to pray. Lord God, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would speak to us, that we would meet with you and be changed by you this morning. Amen. Good morning. For those of you who I haven't met, I'm Lulu. I am mother to Evangeline, who's just making chaos at the back. I'm married to Tim, who's the rector here, and my life is about art and church. So I've been an artist since I left art college, and I've also been involved in church leadership for a few years. Shall I walk forward a bit, Stephen? Go back. Okay, is that better? Great. It's really great to be with you today. So this summer we've been doing a talk series called For the Life of the World, and it's taken from Jesus' words in John 6, where he says that I give my body for the life of the world. And so we've been asking, what are the ways that we can do this? How can we as the church be life to the world? And we've talked about sharing our faith, we've talked about looking after the environment, God's creation. And the last 2 weeks we had two friends, Karis, who's chaplain at Pentonville Prison, come and speak to us about Jesus' heart for prisoners. And then Caitlin, she has a role in community organizing, and she talked about empowering others to bring change to their lives. And this is a core part of what it means to see Jesus' justice roll out on the earth. And today I want to talk particularly about these two talks and talk about friendship. Friendship with people from every walk of life that can change the world. And that's a key way that Jesus brings his life to the world. Now, that might not sound very impressive. It might not sound as good as a great work of art or an international charity with a great budget, but actually friendship is the very center of God's activity in the world. It's not the margin. Are you hearing buzzing in your ears? Is it just me? Okay, fine, I can deal with that, that's good. So the reading we just heard at the end, it says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And then it says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. This is my command, love each other. Now, Bow Church, you are amazing at friendship. Tim and I have been here for almost 2 years, and when we came, we've been welcomed in, we've made friends with many of you, and as new people have joined us, you've also welcomed them in. And we see this at Food Bank, where we extend friendship to lots of people, and at gardening, local people from the community are being brought in and are making friends. And people come to this church and speak about the community, and that's often why they want to stay and come back. Friendship building is a beautiful thing that you've been doing for years and continue to do. It's really wonderful. And friendship changes people's lives. It's powerful. And it's because the heart of friendship is love. It's not a transaction. It's not what I can do for someone else or what they can do for us, but it's about generosity. It's about enjoyment of another person. The heart of it is love. And that's why Karis's work is so powerful in prisons. She told this story about an inmate who'd been there for 30 years, and they celebrated his birthday and they gave him a birthday cake, and he'd never had a birthday cake before. And for that afternoon where they celebrated him, he felt like he was sitting there with friends, and it was really powerful for him. And then Caitlin talked about empowering women to get horrific amounts of damp out of their flats. And at the heart of this was listening, of seeing them, was friendship, this enjoyment, respect, love, and care. I studied at university in Edinburgh, that's where I met Tim. And I was at art school there, but also doing history of art. And before that, I'd grown up in a vicarage. And it's a strange thing about growing up in a vicarage, where you have all sorts of people coming in and out of your home, and I saw a kind of wide variety of people from different backgrounds, and that I had this sense that at the heart of Christianity was this thing where God made space for everyone and anyone. But I didn't necessarily, I did see that when I was younger, but often I'd look around at Christians my own age and I couldn't really see that going on. I couldn't see them extending love to people apart from the ones who they knew and felt were kind of cool and on the in crowd. But at university, I met a group of students who were so not like that. They were cool and they were creative, but they made friends with everyone. They would spend hours on the street sitting with the street homeless community, making friends. They were friends with old people and young people and families. And this was how they lived out their faith. They loved Jesus, and so they loved all sorts of people. And it really changed me and it changed my heart towards God. And then one day, all of us arranged this gig at our art college bar. We called it Let There Be Light because it was on Halloween and we just thought we'd just change that dynamic. And it was all students came, but we invited all our friends in the street homeless community. We asked the bar not to serve alcohol, which they were kind of surprised about. And we sang songs, we made art and gave them away to different to everyone at the end. And there were these amazing friendships that had already been built, that were built even more. And one of the street homeless men at the end, he sang a song to everyone. He was an amazing singer and we offered him a guitar. And it was really beautiful, but that was just one moment. But through the 5 years I was there, God built these incredible friendships that are still going on. They're long-lasting, deep friendships that have totally changed my life. God did something among us. And I think the truth is that I wouldn't naturally be friends with some of the people, even some of the people who are students.
Sorry about that. Even some of the people who were students, one of my best friends, she's called Kirsty, I genuinely don't think that we would be friends with each other if it wasn't for meeting at church and being involved in this community together. But she was one of my bridesmaids and we're best friends. And God does something amazing among his people. I was at another gathering once and someone asked, why are all these people together? And you could ask that of the event that we did, or you could ask actually that in this room, why are all these people together? It's because God does something beautiful with friendship. He brings unlikely people together. So I just want to talk about three aspects of friendship. I want to say first that friendship is God's design for the world. Why? Because God actually is friendship. So you've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everything God does is everything he makes and loves flows out of friendship. So God's, I don't know, wherever he is, he's here, he's there. The three of them are hanging out all the time, just being friends and having a great time together. And out of that comes creation. Out of that comes this beautiful, the beautiful things that God does. And we're made in the image of God, so we are made for friendship. And the Bible is this epic story of God's friendship with humanity. At the beginning of time, God walked with Adam and Eve at dusk in a garden, as you or I might with a friend around the cemetery park or Victoria Park. So creation began with friendship. Can you imagine what that would be like? Imagine it started differently, like God's just hanging out on a bench around the corner texting and isn't that interested? Or there's like a factory and he's like, get to work, get to work, get to work. No, that none of that happened. God created out of friendship. He was right there, friends with humanity. But then humanity turns its back on God and does its own thing. And the rest of scripture is this epic story of how God moved through time and place to win our friendship back. And he desired it so much that he sent his son Jesus to save us, to die on the cross. And his death and resurrection is what reconciles us to God. It's what saves us. And this means we can be friends with God again and friends with each other again. That's what God designed for us and enabled through Jesus. And the passage talks about how we're not just called servants, but we're called friends. It's a miracle. If Jesus hadn't died, we'd still be strangers. But because of Jesus, we're not strangers. We're not just worshippers. We're not even servants, but we're friends with God. It's a nice idea. It kind of rolls off the tongue. What does it actually mean? It means that we're invited to spend time with him, walk with him as if he's a friend, to share in his plans, to collaborate with him, not as servants, but as co-conspirators, as dreamers and activists on this earth with him. It's wild. And despite our desire to resist and rebel, God could have chosen something or created something better. He chose us. And we continue that befriending of people on the earth and bring his life to the world. So friendship is God's design for the world. Friendship's also God's desire for the world. How could friendship bring life to the world? In the face of the wild powers that seem to rage and roar over the face of the earth, in light of the Taliban's tragic takeover of Afghanistan, or the climate crisis, or racism, it seems quite unlikely that friendship could actually change the world. It seems like my words, change the world, are ludicrous or naive. But isn't that the case, that we long for friendship, that something deep inside of us longs to be known? I think COVID's highlighted how much we miss each other, how much we need each other. There's been a lot of, people are feeling quite lonely right now, I think. I've got the privilege of living with people, so I've been able to have hugs when I've needed them. But I know a lot of people who've lived on their own haven't been able to hug anyone for a long time. And for some people, that's been really hard. We were made for relationship and for friendship. And where does Jesus come into all of this? Jesus didn't turn up and go straight to the cross. It wasn't like he was parachuted down and just went to the cross and died for us and reconciled us to God. Jesus actually did quite a lot before he died. And his main strategy for saving the world before he died was friendship. So he befriended 12 men. During these short years of ministry, he only traveled around a surprisingly small, fairly local area. There were no cars, planes, or speedboats, so he was mainly walking at 3 miles per hour, talking to people, befriending people, and specifically with 12 friends. They moved around together, eating in each other's homes, growing a community of wider friends and family who also moved with them, deepening friendships. He was closest to 3 of them, so he really knew about deep friendships and maybe even closest to one of them. And there's a beautiful moment of insight into Jesus' friendship when he raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus was clearly really dear friends with Lazarus and his sisters Martha and Mary. And he knows them well, and he weeps for his friend before he resurrects him. You can just imagine the joy when Lazarus came out of the tomb, no longer dead, and saw his friend there. So he spent time with 12 friends, and then he taught them how to befriend others. He went around befriending people, not necessarily becoming best friends with them, but being kind to people, creating a sense of friendship for people, and he taught his disciples how to do that. And he befriended everyone. He was constantly surrounded by people. Not a certain type of person, but all of them. Normal people, the fishermen who hadn't been picked by other rabbis, the outcasts, the terrorists, even the powerful were drawn to him. He drew everyone and befriended everyone. And to befriend everyone is a core part of the calling for us as believers, a core way that we will bring Jesus' life to the world. We're invited to be friends with people who are different from us, and friends with those who are the same. We lived in a flat in Bethnal Green, and there were 16 flats, and every single flat seemed to be filled with completely different people. And so Tim and I thought that we would try and make friends with everyone, and we would sort of post notes through their doors saying, we're gonna have like a party in the courtyard now. And we did this a few times, and I think twice no one turned up. And then one time it was only the kids and one lady, and one family came and we'd like made barbecue, and we'd made halal barbecue, and one family came and took food away back to their flat, and then we just hang out with the kids for ages, and it was really fun, so we tried. But Jesus does that. He goes to people who are very, very different and creates this amazing sense of community. But I think lots of things can get in the way for us. I think mainly it's pride or fear, and laziness, which actually I think laziness is usually out of pride or fear. You know, comfort, it's easy because we're afraid, or it's easy to stay with our friends because we think we're better than other people. But those things get in the way, often at the same time. We might think we're too good, we're above or below. We think we're too different, too insignificant, too old, too young, too black, too white. We think, I don't have the right to speak to you. I don't know anything about you. What right do I have to speak to you? Tim and I used to go into prison, into Pentonville prison with Caris, and speak sometimes at the Wednesday afternoon sessions they had there. And I remember the first time, as the men came through the doors, I suddenly felt shy. And I don't feel shy very often, but I suddenly was like, how do I connect with these men? What right do I have to speak to them? I come from a pretty privileged background, which is probably a big reason why I've never been in conflict with the law. I have a posh accent, I'm female, I'm not a chaplain. My life is worlds apart probably from these men. Am I really supposed to be here? And then something rose up and told my fears to get out the way. And these men came here because they wanted hope, community, friendship, and I'd been invited to be part of that. And if I let that disqualify me, we were all going to miss out. I was going to miss out on what God wanted to give me through them, and they were going to miss out on what God might have to give them through me. So I walked forward. We were allowed to shake hands then, so I stuck out my hand and introduced myself, and we had a great time. Jesus frees us from our insignificance. He frees us from our laziness. He frees us from our prides and invites us to befriend each other, crossing divides and creeds and everything that might separate us, to share his freedom and his love. And this isn't always easy. Sometimes significant pain and prejudice get in the way and we have to overcome them. But on the cross, Jesus dealt with this and made it possible. So be brave. And the key thing, if you take one thing from this talk, I want you to know is this, that as Jesus befriended people, he healed them from diseases. He miraculously fed hungry people. He reinstated outcasts. He freed them from their shame. So as he befriended people, there was something else going on, and it was God's presence and his power breathing through Jesus. God's power was present, but friendship was always the context for his power. So friendship is like petrol in the spark, in the car, where God's presence is the spark. Or friendship is wheat in the loaf of bread, where yeast is God's presence. Through these two, friendship and God's power, that was how the church was built. And it's like God sneezed, and now a third of the world call themselves Christians. So what about you? What might this look like for you? Who could we become friends with who's right in front of us now? Who do we buy groceries from each week? Who do we like but haven't quite had the courage to befriend? What would it look like to speculate on God's power, to leave space for him to move as we meet people? Who might he want to heal, encourage, free, comfort, or get to know? Go for a walk. Invite God's presence to fill you and see what happens. Or pray before you go into a friend's house. See what God does. So friendship is God's design for the world. Friendship is God's desire for the world. And finally, friendship is God's signpost for the world. A bit earlier on than the reading, Jesus says, "This is how they will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." Why does he care? It's partly that he knows how much friendship is a gift to us, that he wants us to love one another because it's a great gift that he's given us. But it's also because it's a big signpost around our necks as the church to the world, saying, look at us. This is how much God loves the world, how we love each other. It's how much God loves the world. And when we squabble and mistrust each other and don't forgive each other and say unkind things about each other behind each other's back, he looks like a pretty lame God. But what would it look like if we showed people how much God loved us through how we love each other? It's about us here, in this room, in Bow, on August the 22nd. He delights when we love each other. So let's be generous to each other. Let's listen to each other. I've already said actually how good we are at this, but there is always more. There's always more of God's goodness. Let's gossip kindness, not negativity. Let's laugh together and enjoy each other. Who needs encouragement? Go towards them. And I think I just want to speak really briefly about forgiveness. There might be someone in this room who you need to forgive today. Someone who's just even a tiny niggle, who you just don't really want to say hi to because they annoyed you once, or someone who's genuinely hurt you. Forgiveness is letting people off, and it's an amazing gift. So who do you need to forgive today in this room? Hey, Martin. So friendship is God's design for the world. Friendship is God's desire for the world, and friendship is God's signpost for the world. Jesus couldn't have done any of this alone. He needed God's power coursing through him. And he invited people from every single background, every single strata of society to be part of his community. Wouldn't it be amazing if we were a church made up of genuinely different people? So who can we go out from here to befriend and include? Who's lonely and needs friendship? On average, we have 5 new people here at church each Sunday. Aim to meet a new person each Sunday. Ask their name. Welcome them. Deepen your current friendships. Forgive people. Believe the best in one another. Gossip generosity. So Olivet's going to come now and play for us. And we're going to spend a little bit of time reflecting on this. And I'm going to invite you to do 2 things. The first is to ask God to fill you with his presence, that when we go out from here, when we meet people, that God would do something genuinely amazing through the friendships that we already have and through the friendships that we make, that he might bring healing and freedom to us and to others around us. So just sit and invite him to come and fill you with his presence. And the second is, who do I need to forgive? Maybe not in this room, but maybe in this room. Is there anyone who's just annoyed you a little bit who you just want to say, I forgive them? Remember, forgiveness is letting someone off the hook. So I'll pray now, and then Olivet will pray. Lord God, thank you that you fought through heaven and earth to be friends with us, that you sent Jesus to save us so that we were no longer strangers or servants, but friends. I pray that we would understand that so deeply this morning, that you call us friends. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we wait now, that your presence would come and fill us in power, that you do beautiful things through our friendships, that you bring healing and freedom and comfort. And I pray, God, that as we forgive people, there'd be a genuine lightness in our spirits, and that you would reconcile us to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.